to the YONation.com podcast, the only podcast dedicated to University of Wyoming athletics.
This is another edition of the YO Nation podcast. I am your host, Chad Smith, and it's time for me to bring in my co-host, the founder of YONation.com, Mr. Brad Reed.
Hello there, YO Nation. How are you this week?
And I'm sad to say that due to a scheduling error of his own fault, our good friend Connor Cunningham will not be making it tonight.
Boo.
Yes, let's give him the sad trombone because he said, oh yeah, I'm ready to pod. And then when we called him to get ready for the pod, he said, oh, I forgot. Epic fail, Connor.
Man, you let a guy get married and his whole schedule goes to hell in a handbasket.
So, all right. But the good news is here, folks, we're back after a long break. I don't know why. I guess when we're getting our heads kicked in by other teams, it's not too fun to get onto the airwaves here and talk about it. But this past weekend, Wyoming won a game. The final score from the war this past Saturday, Wyoming 28, Nevada 21. Rejoice!
Woot woot! Oh, wait, that was me.
That was you. Very unprofessional. So, I guess let's just, I mean, anybody, if you're listening to this, you probably listened to the game, saw the game, so you know what happened. So let's just get into the meat of the issue here. Now, a lot of people, when I was around town on Saturday and Sunday, were saying, well, hey, what was different? Did they play like way better than they have been through the first course of the year? And you know what my answer was, Brad?
What was that, Chad?
My answer was no. So, and I know you have the same theory as well. So please fill in the audience on what our theory is.
Our theory is they've played like this pretty much the entire season. I think the North Dakota game was a little bit of a not playing that way. But for the rest of the games this season that you've watched, the Cowboys have played this way pretty much all season. The problem is they just can't string it together all at the same time. You know, one week we'll have a terrific offense with an okay defense and we'll lose. Or we'll have, a pretty good defensive effort like we saw against Air Force and the offense didn't show up. And this week we've kind of finally put all the puzzle pieces together. And what do you know? We beat Nevada. You know, not exactly a bottom-dwelling team in the Mountain West and featured two of the top running backs in the conference, or two of, very good running backs in the conference. And finally, everything just strung itself together, and holy cow, we won a football game.
Okay, yeah. So when you look at the numbers, and that's when I was trying to write up my post-game article that you saw on wildnation.com, I kept thinking that, okay, I'm going to put in this stat and say, hey, Wyoming had a season high, and this stat. But then I would look it up, and no, it wasn't a season high. So here are the three things, the three keys to victory, Brad. Are you ready?
Do it.
We didn't talk about these, but these are stats. So Wyoming actually did have a season high in third down conversions, converting 53% of the time. And mind you, their average for the year is 38%. So they're well above their average in the Nevada game at 53%. And that helped make drives go longer.
That's always really helpful, keep the defense on the field and, play the Craig Bull ball that we all come to know and love.
That is right. And I guess fill in the folks about the great day that Cameron Kaufman had.
Cameron Kaufman turned in a Mountain West Player of the Week performance this week. He was 18 of 20 for 213 yards and 3 touchdowns. And I believe that was the highest game by a Mountain West quarterback all season as far as a quarterback rating goes. So, yeah, Cameron turned in a terrific football game this past weekend and did not turn the ball over like we saw the weekend before against Air Force. And, yeah, that was a big part of why the Cowboys went on to victory.
That is right. And another reason is red zone scoring percentage, which they've been at 55%. And I don't know about these numbers. Maybe this was the case. But Wyoming did end up scoring 3 red zone touchdowns, which tied a season high. And, having those touchdowns be 7 points and not 3 points or even 0 with the way the kicking game is going was absolutely huge.
yeah, that was, you know, if you're looking back in, if you're looking back to the Air Force game, you know, I feel like that's a game we probably should have won. I think, you know, four turnovers, two of those, or at least one of those being in the red zone against the Falcons, you know, kind of crippled some scoring effort there for the Cowboys. And this weekend, no turnovers, and holy cow, we won a football game.
And you're jumping the gun here, but yes, turnovers, that's the other thing. The turnover battle, they're saying, was zero, but that's not true. These official stats that I'm looking at on this website are full of garbage because we did not turn the ball over, but we did force a fumble at the end of the game, and that should have counted as a turnover, which they didn't have. And then I always count a turnover on downs, which we forced. That's a turnover too, basically. So Wyoming took care of the ball, didn't fumble it, didn't throw interceptions, and got basically the defense got the ball back twice.
Yeah, that's a great effort by the team, you know, on both sides of the ball. And we even got a field goal out of Tristan Bailey. He contributed to the scoring this week.
Well, I guess he did make – no, he didn't.
He made one field goal.
What are you talking about?
He is now 1-for-7 on the season.
He made one, did he? How am I missing this in my head?
Or no. Did he made a field goal, didn't he? Let's go to the stat sheet.
Well, you do that.
Okay.
This is highly unprofessional here. I know. But you're right. If we only scored 3 touchdowns, well, then how do you get...
He is 1-for-7 on the season.
How do you get 28 points with 3 touchdowns?
Oh, never mind. He made it against Air Force.
Yeah, see? So, see, some of these numbers are...
It's been so long since we podcasted. I get them all confused.
Yeah, we had 4 touchdowns. It was 3 passing touchdowns and 1 rushing touchdown. So, there you go.
And a rushing touchdown?
He didn't, man. He missed his 2 kicks.
But we had a rushing touchdown from the new guy.
Yes, from Kellen Overstreet, the first Parade All-American to play at the University of Wyoming, got his first college touchdown. That is correct.
I expect him to get a lot more carries here coming in the coming weeks.
He is solidified himself as the number 2 running back on the depth chart for yet again this week, as you would expect. So,
and this week being his first week of real, you know, football action, I thought he did very well. I thought he had some good runs. He caught a couple passes out of the backfield and had one long pass catch, didn't he?
He did. It was a crucial 3rd and 17. And he picked up, I think, about 21 yards. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to be a very valuable weapon for us going on to the later part of the season here.
So, yeah, so that field goal kicking situation is a complete mess. And I wanted to ask Bull about it in the press conference, but I dared not to.
I think you'd be playing with fire, my friend.
Yeah, I did. I was going to let everybody be happy. But then I was like, okay, I'll ask him the next day on the conference call. And then somehow in my head, I thought the conference call started at 12:30 when it's actually at noon. So I missed it. So my reporting duties were very, very poor.
Well, that's what happens when you're in the middle of the workday and trying to get official Wyo Nation business done.
That's true. I'm cheating my employer with my moonlighting.
You and me both, brother. You and me both.
All right. So there you go. That's pretty much in the nutshell. Is Wyoming didn't play all that much worse than they have. They just executed in the key parts, turnovers, third down, red zone. And that's going to be, I think, the story for the rest of the season. If they can excel in even just 2 or out of those 3 categories, we're going to be fairly competitive for the rest of the year.
But there's one tiny problem with this.
Yeah, what is that?
The schedule gets really, really hard from here.
We got Boise this week, obviously, as a tough road trip. And I was going to look up the numbers. Heck, I don't even remember the last time we beat Boise. I don't know, have we ever beat them?
We have not.
Are we like 0-10 or something crazy like that?
0-9.
0-9, so you know the numbers. See, I was close. 0-9, we've never beaten Boise. Wow.
Yeah, we've never beaten Boise, and last I looked, we were 34-point underdogs.
Yes, that's a big, big number.
Yeah. Luckily, the Pokes have been really good about covering the spread this year, so That's after those first two games, the spread, they've covered the spread every week since then. Mm-hmm. So that's good.
Yeah. So again, let's just talk about this defense. A big thing that jumped out to me that really helped them is they didn't give up points to start the game like we usually have, where, you know, we'll get in a hole 14-0. And I thought the big key was that they stopped Nevada's inside run game early. And that forced them to throw and run outside, which really kind of derailed their offense. As anybody knows, any offense tries to start to run the ball up the middle, and then they work away out there. But if you could take away the middle run, you're really going to make that offense have to work for their yards.
Well, it was kind of amazing that the Cowboys, you know, Nevada featured their two running backs are very, very good running backs. And the Cowboys held them to much lower than their season average. So that was, you know, that was an encouraging stat. And they even did it without Chase Appleby. Chase Appleby left the game, and I think he's out for the year. And he, without, even without him on the defensive line, they were still able to shut down the Nevada rushing attack and, you know, have some success forcing the quarterback Stewart out of the pocket. And as you saw, he's a very poor passer out of the pocket. He missed several wide open throws that, you know, had he connected, they would have been touchdowns. And he missed wide open receivers, you know, once they got him flushed out of the pocket. So, you know, that's a tribute to that defensive line and, you know, even the linebacking core, keeping that those running backs bottled up and chasing after Stewart a little bit.
Yep, those are some good observations, Brad. So, yeah, so we're off the schneid, and that's great because I just didn't want to think what an 0-12 season would have been like. It would have been pretty hard to rebound from that in multiple aspects. So thankfully we don't have to think about that, but hopefully they could get a couple more W's somehow because, you know, going 1-11 isn't all that much better, obviously, for morale.
No, luckily we still got a contest with UNLV coming up and the Colorado State team. You know, they're looking whatever. I don't even know.
They're pretty schizophrenic, it seems like.
Yeah. And I guess one encouraging thing is Boise State did somehow manage to turn the ball over 8 times last week. I mean, I assume we could probably score points if they did that to us.
Yeah. Jeez.
In case you're keeping track, that's a lot of turnovers.
That's a lot. Yes. 8 is a lot.
Yeah.
And that's why they lost.
I saw a football game here in Missoula where there was like 10 turnovers once. And I thought that was excessive, but I think 8 would be excessive too.
Mm-hmm. Well, anything over 2, I would say is excessive.
Yeah. So, you know, maybe Brett Rippon will, you know, keep on that interception streak he's got going and, you know, give us a few points here and there.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like the secondary, you know, seems like the secondary is playing fairly well lately too. Granted, Nevada's receiving corps isn't quite what Boise State's will be, but, you know, maybe.
They seem to be slightly improved. And as I mentioned during our live chat on the game on the website, is I think that a lot of our problems are more schematic than anything, because a lot of times we're giving these wide receivers a 10-yard cushion off the ball. And yeah, they're just giving them free 5-yard pass every time. And that's just something you can't do.
Yeah, I think you and I both had the same observation there, is, you know, those first few Nevada drives, you know, the defensive backs were playing way off of the wide receiver. It's like, man, you know, we give them 5 yards at a time, this game's going to get out of control in a hurry. So, yeah, I thought that was a little odd. But, you know, once the coverage tightened up, Nevada – and I don't even know if our guys are good enough to go one-on-one with the elite wide receivers yet. But they held their own, I guess.
Probably not, and that's probably why the cushion is there. It's to kind of protect them a little bit. But then at the same time, when you're doing that, you're just – giving up all that underneath stuff, which is just going to kill you, nickel and dime you to death.
I guess one thing to help the secondary too is Robert Priester will be back this week for Boise State. He was out last week with a concussion, so.
Okay, and he's still listed as the starter. But again, I don't know if he should be playing, because I think Jennings, CJ Jennings, had a whale of a game. And I think he's probably a better player.
Yeah, the coaching staff today mentioned I think it was Craig Bull even that mentioned how impressed he was with CJ Jennings, that you know, he far exceeded his expectations for his play in that Nevada game. So that's really encouraging to hear that a secondary player is very high on Bull's list right now.
Yep. And I was actually the one in the post game. They asked us what players they would like, we'd like to have in the interview room. And I actually requested CJ Jennings, and he did come, and he was a very good young man. And he was just, you know, down to earth and everything, even though he had some great success in his first college start. And I guess we'll just wrap up the football talk with this, Brad, is I'm more confident than ever now, despite this 1-6 record, that Bowl will turn this program around and pretty successfully. Because in this game, you know, in the losses, they usually only bring in maybe one or two players to do a press game or a post-game press conference interview. And after this game, I think we did about six of them.
Wow.
And all of them were saying the same things. Bowl has molded these young men to play the game the right way, to learn the game the right way, and to play as a team. And that's what they all said, is that, hey, even though we were 0-6, we were still working hard. Everyone said we were still playing and practicing like we are a 6-0 team, because that's what college football is. It's a challenge, and it doesn't matter what your record is. It's a privilege to get on that football field and compete. And this is what he's drilled into these guys' heads. And we as fans, you know, may be down on this team, but the players aren't down on themselves, and that's incredibly important. So, I mean, Bowl's really doing a heck of a coaching job mentally with these young men.
Well, and if you've watched the Cowboys over the last few weeks, I noticed it when I was over in Pullman for the Washington State game, that despite, you know, they may be getting their heads kicked in on the field, but they don't stop playing. Like, I get the feeling that they're just too young to know any better, that despite what it looks like on the field that day, that whatever side of the scoreboard they're on, they don't stop playing hard. I mean, they go out there and they're still trying to score a ton of points with 2 minutes left in the game, 5 minutes left in the game. You know, the game may be out of reach, you know, on the scoreboard, but they're still out there playing like it's still 0-0. And I think that's a very good quality that Bulls put into the team, is they're still out there, you know, wanting to win a football game despite being down, you know, maybe 20 points or 10 points or whatever it is. So I think that's going to serve them and go a long ways for them, is, you know, they're going to finish games whether they're on the left or right side of the scoreboard.
That's right. So I think the profile player that he's recruiting – remember, it's a lot of this is mental for him. He wants the kids to have the right cultural fit and the right mentality to come in and play football. And so far, from what I've seen in the players that I've interacted with, he's doing that. So just think, as he gets a whole roster full of the guys with this mentality, think what the possibilities can be.
Look at those Bison championship teams down in FCS. I mean, those were guys I remember very specifically. You know, this is probably, I think it was Craig Bull's second to last year at NDSU. They played Kansas State, and Kansas State went to a bowl game this season, mind you. And Bulls Bison went down to Manhattan, and they went on an 8-minute drive and kicked Kansas's teeth in for 8 minutes going down the field. I mean, that's finishing a football game. And I think this team has a lot of those qualities in there where, you know, there's a tiny bit of adversity, they're down by a score, and they're going to march off an eight-minute drive and kick you in the teeth. So I think that there's a lot of players on this team with that kind of mentality.
Yep, so things will only get better, folks. So I think we're in good hands. It's just going to be – patience is going to be required.
As with all good things, Chad, all in good time.
Yes, all right. So I know, I guess in football news – other news, we have some website news, something that you put together over the past couple weeks here. Would you like to inform the people?
Sure. We put together a brand new recruiting page on yonation.com. And we've got recruiting, basically everybody's recruiting info back to 2005. So, yeah, it's a new handy little feature we've got there on the website. And, you know, just one more thing to make the website great, I guess. You know, yes, and now that we have Ben Mitchum on board writing for us, his only responsibility to me is writing about the recruits that happened to verbal to us and so far we've got a few player profiles up on the website with the new recruits that have come in. So go ahead and check that out. It's yonation.com/recruiting.
Yes, and you'll also see on the newly minted homepage, you'll see the recruiting on the, I guess, the homepage bar in the middle there. You could click on the recruiting button there, and you'll get a list. It's got football and basketball going back about 10 years.
Yeah.
And so it's a wealth of info.
And for the football, you know, for the football recruiting, we've got links to their Huddle page up as well, so you can go watch a little bit of a high school game film of these guys that are going to be future Cowboys.
That's right. So it's a great resource. And we're working on something else rather big as well. So maybe the next time we pod, that will be ready to go. And that's something that we're excited about as well. Trying to build the site to your one-stop shop for Wyoming athletics information.
We're building an empire, Chad.
Yes. So, all right, this is the point of the show where I turn the reins over to Brad so he can grill me about the other sport that we play at the University of Wyoming.
In case you guys haven't heard, we have this basketball team this year, and I don't know if you guys watched any of their games last year, but I think they won a game or two, won the Mountain West tournament, went and played a NCAA tournament game and lost or in Seattle. That didn't go quite as planned. In the offseason, we graduated 5 seniors. 4 of them were starters, including Larry Nance to the Los Angeles Lakers. So now that football season is about half over and basketball season is well underway with practices, Chad got to take in the scrimmage this weekend before the Wyoming-Nevada game. They had a white-on-gold scrimmage, and Chad got to see firsthand these new players that are coming in that has everybody really excited. So you wrote up a quick blog on it Monday, about your thoughts on, you know, what you saw from the basketball team. So just as a – what are your – a very, you know, 5,000-foot overview, what's your initial thoughts on this basketball team looking to replace 66% of their scoring from last year?
Yeah, it's hard to say because it's so early. The first part of the scrimmage was really sloppy, as you would expect. A lot of missed shots, a lot of blown defensive assignments, missed layups even. But as the more they got going, the smoother that the play on the court became. And it's really no different than my first blog that I had a couple weeks ago, Brad.
You did have another blog about basketball. That's 2 in 1 week.
Yes, and I forget. I guess my main points were – what were my main points? That I think this is going to be a pretty talented team that's going to have quite a bit of depth. But the question is, how will these new players adapt to the defense-first system that Shiat runs? Because they won't get on the court unless he trusts them to play defense. Mm-hmm. And we saw that in the scrimmage. Anytime there was a defensive breakdown, he would blow his whistle, went to the middle of the court, and would stop play and would teach them what needs to be done in this situation defensively to stop a player from getting to a certain, you know, place on the court in the post, or to how to, you know, get around a man on a switch to make sure he doesn't have a wide open three. And he let his assistants coach the scrimmage, and he was just sitting in the stands with the fans, basically. And when there was a defensive breakdown, he'd blow the whistle and go out there and teach. So that shows you the level that they have of a commitment towards defense.
Yeah, and I guess that, you know, kind of a minor unrelated note there, but I guess that's, you know, the confidence that Shiat also has in his assistant coaches to, you know, get out there, get after the guys, teach them a thing or two, then when he needs to step in, he'll step in, so... I guess that speaks to the quality of assistance we have on this team, too.
Oh, yeah, because you have a son, obviously, who's been with him for a while.
Mm-hmm.
He was at North Florida, I do believe, on his own.
Sounds right.
There as an assistant. And then you have the former Kentucky player who won a national title. I do believe it's Coach Edwards. Is that his last name?
Yeah, I'm just looking through their roster right now. Yeah, Alan Edwards.
Yep, and he was a very good player for that Kentucky national title team. And he was a good coach. And then, you know what? I didn't see Scott Duncan there. I did not see him offhand. I'm trying to remember. I don't remember seeing him. It was basically the little Shiat was coaching one team and Edwards was coaching the other.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. I did not see Duncan at the scrimmage, but I could be mistaken. But I don't.
He is still a Cowboy head coach.
Yeah, no, he's definitely there. So who knows what was going on, but I did not see him. Doesn't mean he wasn't there. Maybe he's a pretty distinctive guy. He's kind of tall and gray hair.
Maybe he's out recruiting.
Maybe. I don't know what.
It's recruiting season.
It is for basketball, so maybe he was. That would be a legitimate answer. So, yeah. I don't know. What was the original question there? I forget already.
I didn't even ask a question. I just gave a 5,000-foot overview of the team.
Oh, there we go.
So, I guess the player that everybody really wants to know about, like really, really wants to know about, is the Swedish guard, Alexander Akagorski.
Yes.
What do you think of him?
I'm very high on him. And I was last year. You could see that he has something about him. And I don't really know his complete background. I don't think he's been playing basketball that long. I know he's from Sweden. I do believe that he played maybe 1 year of high school American basketball.
Mm-hmm.
I think in Kansas, maybe. Maybe you could look up his profile. And confirm that. But I think he's going to be one of those guys who steps up and along with Josh Adams, who's going to be the leader of this team. And I don't know if he'll be the leading scorer, but you know, he's going to chip in 12 to 13 points a game at least. We have a lot of points to replace, and I think Akagorski is going to be one of those guys who will step up and score in double figures for this basketball team.
Yeah, just a quick thing here on Akagorski. He did play one season for a prep team at Sunrise Christian Academy in Wichita, Kansas.
There you go.
And he played he played in 45 games for the Swedish national team at several levels. And he was in the Swedish under 20 European national championships team. So he's got some, you know, obviously he's got international basketball experience, but he played, you know, in various plays in Europe. He was with the U18 team, and he was the leading scorer, averaging more than 15 points a game. So, yeah, he's got some, you know, he's got some decent pedigree, I think, as far as, you know, playing high-level basketball at various levels.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like him. I think he's going to develop into a nice player for us, and the sky's really the limit. I mean, he could get to double figures this season. Remind you, he's only a sophomore.
And he's a 6'5 guard, too. He's not a small guy.
And we've seen the jumps that people can take, you know, from, you know, maybe averaging 2 or 3 points as a freshman to maybe 8 or 9 as a sophomore. And then when you're a junior or a senior, you're capable of scoring, you know, upper teens to 20 points a game. And I think he could be one of those type of players for us.
And I guess the other guy that people are kind of asking about is the transfer, Morris Marshall.
Well, first of all, I must say, to use a European term that they use with soccer players, he's got a heck of a salad.
His profile picture on GoYo.com says that, yeah.
Yes, dude, his hairdo is immaculate. It's awesome.
Impressive.
Yep, I like it.
Is it like on a Derek Cook, Jason Thompson kind of level?
Oh, it's better.
Oh, man. Even better than Jason Thompson's?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, his hair is nice.
That's exciting.
So you should come out just to see his hair.
Wait, so how the guy from Utah State that had the Will Smith haircut, anything like that?
No.
Oh,
it's
sad.
Pretty unique what he has.
But it's better than that, though?
It's nice. Yeah, I like it.
Because that's modern. That guy from Utah State had a pretty wicked do on him.
He did. Yeah, this is a modern type of cut.
I'm excited to see this.
It's pretty nice. So, yeah, but no, he looks like he should be someone who should step in right away. Obviously, having some JUCO experience. Very athletic. Looked like to me he had a decent inside-outside game. He could shoot from the outside. But he's also quick enough and tall enough to penetrate and be able to score some points down there. So he's another guy who I'd expect to – I don't know if he'll start. It's hard to say right now. what type of rotation Shrat will have. I think that's something that will evolve, especially through the non-conference season. But I think he'll be a guy who should be able to score for this team.
You know, kind of interesting. He went to the same high school as another Cowboy, Andrew Momika. And coming out of high school, Morris Marshall was a three-star recruit out on Rivals.
Mm-hmm. So he's very talented.
But it's also very confusing because he went to Santa Fe Community College, but it was in Florida.
Yes, that's actually in Gainesville where I used to live.
So your former hometown there.
Yeah. So.
But that's very misleading. The Santa Fe College.
Well, there's a Santa Fe, Florida, too. So.
Yeah, I noticed that.
It's the Santa Fe River is what it's named after.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Man, we get a podcast and a geography lesson today.
Yes, and you do.
Man, that's very exciting.
That is right.
So I guess, you know, I guess I'll ask about it, and you've probably got a pretty high opinion, but Josh Adams was named to the preseason first team All-Mountain West Conference team. This past week at the Mountain West Media Days in Vegas. And I think I read something where it's being predicted that Adams is going to score. I don't even know how people come up with this stuff. I mean, it's Vegas, whatever. But he's predicted to average about 13 points this season. They did not list how many dunks he's going to be worth this season. What are your thoughts preseason here about Josh Adams?
Yeah, he's going to be the leader of this team, no doubt, as the lone senior. And he's going to have to take up a lot of that leadership role. He's going to have to bring, you know, some composure to the team, especially late in games. Not many of these guys have D1 experience, so it's going to be up to him. And so I think early in the season, they will lean on him for a lot. And so you might see him score, you know, maybe over 15 a game for a while, but I think slowly that will come down. And I guess it also depends on if he's playing point guard or shooting guard. It's a big question that still needs to be answered. And I guess when I mentioned that, hey, I'm very excited. Another guy I'm absolutely excited about. Now, this guy was highly thought of, but this Austin Conway, this point guard out of Denver, he's legit. I'm telling you right now, he's going to be a very good player for us in the future.
You know what's really funny about that is the blog you wrote, you pretty much just quoted that word for word in the first sentence.
Really?
The freshman out of the Denver area looks like a legit player.
There we go.
Nice work.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I don't know how I feel about Josh Adams this year. Like, I think he's going to be absolutely, you know, terrific for us. But I feel like he's filling some very, very big shoes with, you know, last season he had Larry Nance and Riley Grabo to kind of, you know, lean on as being the senior leaders and captains and whatever. And this year it's all Josh Adams. You know, I feel like that's a lot of responsibility on his shoulders too. You know, this is a very, very young basketball team, and there's going to be a lot of weight on his shoulders to, you know, keep this team's composure, you know, when they get a little bit sideways in a game. So, you know, I'm hoping that Adams has got, I hope it's been beat into him with some mental toughness that, you know, Josh, this is your team. You are the lone senior. If a game gets sideways, you got to pull this team out of the gutter and, you know, do whatever it takes to win. So I hope that, you know, Josh Adams is up to that kind of responsibility. And I think he probably is, but it seems like a lot to take on for one senior.
It is. And I don't know if you saw this, and I hope I'm not misconstruing this, but it sounded like to me through some pictures and some tweets that I saw from Wyoming basketball is that in the locker room, they actually have a pretty big sized wall. And every year, I don't know how long they've been doing this, but they say this is the wall where they put like full size, you know, pictures of the seniors on the team. And they said, hey, this year, the only guy who's up on that wall is Josh Adams. And they had a picture of the wall. And I think they had a picture of the wall from last year with all the seniors. So that's kind of cool that they do that. So I do believe he knows.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be beaten to his head because Shiat's a very good coach. Very much like Bowl. I think him and Bowl, very similar in the way they approach the game.
Well, and they're, you know, both coaches are very good fits for Laramie.
Mm-hmm.
But I wonder if we'll see somebody like, you know, Jason McManaman kind of step up in a more of a leadership role this year too, and, you know, maybe give Josh Adams a little bit of, you know, I'm not going to say like a break, but maybe, you know, a little bit of help leading this team around. You know, McManaman's probably the next guy up as far as, you know, playing experience goes.
Yeah, but I still, from watching the scrimmage, and I think this is something I might have written in my original blog, is his role is yet to be determined. But for me, watching the scrimmage, I still think that he's probably best suited to come off the bench for this team.
Think so?
Yeah, but I don't know. That's my opinion. I could be very wrong, but I think that's probably where they'll keep him because that's been his role, and he's been fairly successful with that. And you need a guy like that on your bench.
You know, going to the Wayback Machine, you know, that's how now I just totally spaced it. Who was the guy that always came off the bench our like freshman year of college? That was just really badass. You know, a little tiny white guy that always
Brett
came
McCall?
In.
Like,
no, not Brett from McFall.
Tiny white guy.
Not Watsabaugh. I gotta go way back.
Dude, I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh man, you're gonna make me go to the Wayback Machine. But you know, with that, you know, this basketball team is constructed very similar to our football team, in that you know we have three upperclassmen on this team. You know, we've got Adams, we've got McManaman, and we've got Morris Marshall, the transfer who's brand new to the program.
Yeah, so really, he doesn't count. Yeah.
We are freshmen and sophomores all the way, and that's, you know, kind of exciting and kind of terrifying too, in a way.
Mm-hmm. So, no, it's going to be a learning and growing experience for a lot of these guys. So, I don't know, again, how good we'll be this year, but I think the future of the program is very bright, and it's going to be a very versatile team that could play with a lot of different lineups, big lineups, small lineups. And I guess why we're just talking about the future, and we'll wrap up here soon, is another guy for the future is Jordan Naughton, the freshman center out of California. Wow. 6'10", I think 225, 230 pounds, and he's still growing. He's going to be a big, big boy.
Yeah, you mentioned that on your blog that, you know, he's got a lot of room to grow and, you know, get into his gangly body a little bit. And I think you mentioned to me in chat earlier today that he's, you know, got an NBA body in the making.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. And I guess one thing I probably should have looked at his footwork, because that's the key with the big men. So if they could work with him, I think he's going to be a legit center in this league who could play defense and be able to score, which is something that, as we all know, can help, really help a team build a foundation for success.
Yeah, and I think you know, with Naughton coming along, you know, set him on the bench this year maybe, and I think, you know, he's going to be a very good player for us at, you know, some point. And just a quick look over the schedule here. I mean, the schedule isn't particularly difficult this season as far as the out-of-conference goes. We've got a couple of games against, oh my goodness, something called Bristol University. I'm not that they followed me on Twitter a while back. That was kind of weird.
Yeah, I think, is that that's a real game or an exhibition? I forget already.
Looks like a real game.
Okay, well, you know, the story there is their head coach is former Cowboy great Jerron Roberts.
True. That is a very good point.
Was, if you don't know, man, I mean, that's when I was a kid. He played for us when we weren't particularly a good team, but mm-hmm. He was a great player.
Yeah.
Jerron Roberts.
Was he part of Shiat's first stint, Laramie?
I'm not sure if he was on that team or not. I want to say that he wasn't. I think he was there with the previous coach, who I already forget. Which I apologize for.
Roby.
Who was after Roby? Yeah, who was after Roby?
Yeah,
oh, man.
Who was in there.
It's fine.
But yeah, so, you know, they open the season with the Mountain West Missouri Valley Challenge. That's pretty much the first real game, I guess, at Indiana State. You know, I think they've been, that's Larry Bird's, you know, alma mater, by the way. New Mexico Highlands at home. They got a pair of games against Montana State, one of them in Billings. That should be riveting. I might actually go over for that game. CSU Bakersfield at Denver, at home versus California. That seems to be the highlight of the home schedule for out of conference. Another game against Southern, then at New Mexico State, and that actually could be a pretty tough game. I think they were last year's WAC champions.
Mm-hmm.
I think Chad's in an apocalypse over there.
Yeah, we got some thunderstorm trolling through here in October, which is kind of scary.
Yeah, they've got New Mexico State on the schedule. They've been a very tough team in the past. They graduated that giant 7-4 guy. He was huge. Home versus Omaha. Then they've got a Global Sports Classic, it looks like, or something. I don't even know. Anyway, it's a little four-team tournament. They've got Marshall, Houston, or Grand Canyon. Seems like Grand Canyon had a pretty good season last year, too. And fun fact, they're the only for-profit Division I university. So,
yes. Mm-hmm.
And I believe that they're also coached by a former Phoenix Sun, Dan Marley.
That is correct. Thunder Dan.
Thunder Dan. So, yeah, they've, not a particularly tough out-of-conference schedule this year. Seems like that New Mexico State game and the California game probably be the toughest ones on there.
Mm-hmm.
Then we head into the Mountain West season. Boy, oh boy, we start out with San Diego State on the road.
Nice.
That sounds like fun.
Who last I heard was under investigation. We heard an update on that?
Well, I mean, first of all, color me shocked.
Yeah.
You know.
Steve Fisher cheating? No, that's never happened before.
Wow. I mean, this is breaking news. So, yeah, San Diego State's basketball team is under investigation. Who knows what will happen with that? Then they go on the road 3 days later and play in Nevada, too. Nevada's so
that's all in the future. Let's not even worry about the conference season.
But good news. Yeah. We finished the regular season at home against San Jose State.
Oh, nice. Okay.
So at least
circle that.
That's your time to be in Laramie. Send these guys out with a win.
Mm-hmm. So, all right. I think that's a good kind of little preview, a little teaser for basketball.
Yeah, and you've got the basketball press pass this year, so you'll probably take in a few games, I'm sure. And
I will, yes.
See what the Pokes are up to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, pretty exciting. I'm ready for basketball. Well, I'm never ready for football season to be done because, you know. But, yeah, basketball should be fun this year.
Yep, it will be entertaining to see how this team grows.
Yep.
So, all right, well, I think we've been way too long.
We always go much longer than we think we're going
to. But it was fun, and we hope you enjoyed it as well. So, enjoy that football victory. Watch the Pokes this Saturday at Boise on ESPN2.
8:15 kickoff.
8:15 Mountain Time. And we will be back at some point with another podcast. Who knows? We'll see what our schedules allow. But we like doing this, so we'll try to be back as soon as we can. So, for Brad Reed, I'm Chad Smith saying go Pokes.